Today, this morning, I'm excited to preach on a great topic. It's going to be a fun morning, I can guarantee you that. We've begun a series called Testimony. Pastor Chris spoke the first message in that series, which was called I Am Saved. And today we're talking about I Am Delivered. And we joked all week that Pastor Kim has to preach about deliverance. It's just so unkind. But it is kind, because I'll tell you that God has been preparing you for 2 weeks for what we have to say today and what's going to happen in this room today. Church, let me encourage you by saying God has something for you. And I don't say that because I'm the one saying it. I don't care who is up here this morning. God has a message for you about deliverance. And I know that sounds like a scary, very churchy word. We're not going there. It's not going to be scary. It's going to be great. And my desire this morning, my deepest desire, is that you will leave filled with hope and filled with encouragement. You will leave inspired knowing that God has something in store for you today. A testimony. It is a story of God's grace. It's what we began talking about last week. And in any good story, there is a battle. Sometimes the battle is epic and interesting, and other times it's small and trivial, but it's still a battle. It's something that we must go through in our story. And today we're going to talk about those battles. We're going to talk about a lot of different battles. We each have a battle. We've each experienced many battles, likely. And we'll each experience more battles, likely. Today I want to talk about a lot of different battles, like battling fear or anxiety, depression or worry. We battle things like physical pain or disease. We battle the loss of a job, finding our purpose. We battle loneliness. We battle 1,000 things in this world, but we're not meant to live in them. We're not meant to stay there in those battles. And sometimes a battle is a long time. And it goes over many weeks or months or seasons or decades. But God has a plan for us within our battle. Your battle will be unique to you. It is your battle. God has created you uniquely. And in that, your battle will be unique. They can be similar, but always your battle is your battle. And the way that you will fight and conquer and allow God to deliver you through your battle is how God will deliver you through your battle. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, if you are new to the faith or new to reading the Bible, this is a great chapter for you to read. I'm not going to talk about it today, but I want to give you that information. Ephesians chapter 6, if you've never read it, this is our equipment for fighting the battle. Read that. Hold on to that. Apply that to your life. And while that's important, what we're talking about today is not our equipment, but our posture and our stance through our battles. How we actually physically get through our battle. One thing I love about this church is a tradition we have taken on is reading scripture together. We engage in our Bible. We engage in scripture together by standing and reading. And so I'm going to ask you to stand for a moment and read with me. We're going to read out of the book of 2 Samuel. Chapter 22, and there are 51 or 52 verses in this chapter, and I won't make you read all of them today. That would be a lot of reading. We are going to look at a lot of this chapter. We won't go through all of that either, but I want to read with you just the first 4 verses. This is called David's Song of Praise, and if you would read with me. David sang this song to the Lord on the day the Lord rescued him from his enemies. And from Saul, he sang, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and place of safety. He is my refuge, my savior, the one who saves me from violence. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. Let's pray. God, I thank you that your word is truth. And I thank you that it is valuable truth that is relevant today. I ask that your truth would come out this morning and that we would each leave inspired by it. Thank you for all that you do for us and for all that you are. And we pray this in your name. Amen. You can be seated. So we're going to be talking about David today. We won't tell you the whole story of David. That's a long story, and I don't have the time. But if I could give you a very small summary, I would tell you that David's story begins where he is a young shepherd boy out in the fields and doing his tasks as he should. And as his story continues, he fights a lot of battles. He fights a large man named Goliath. And he fights kings, and he fights armies. He fights his best friend, and he even fights one of his sons. Battle after battle after battle, and we know, those of us who know his story, he ends as king. A shepherd boy to a king is an incredible story. In this chapter, 2 Samuel 22, this is David's testimony. And this is neat for me because we get to read not his entire story, but his testimony. Your entire story won't be in your testimony. Pieces of your story. The pieces where God has brought you through a battle. The pieces where God has delivered you from a tough thing, and he has, by grace, brought you out to the other side. David, though he had a lot of battles, he wasn't always perfect. We also read in David's story that he messed up. He sinned. He failed. He wasn't perfect every time. But we also read that David always returned to God. See, David's heart was for God, so he always returned. No matter the sin, no matter the mistake, he always returned to God. And that's an important thing that we need to remember today. David always returned. You see, David experienced both the love and the fear of God. He knew both. He experienced both. To fear God is sometimes an odd concept. Why would someone who created us want us to both love and fear him? And when I think about fearing God, I go back to being a child, and I think about my father, and I know how much he loved me. He was consistent in the way that he loved me and the rest of my siblings. But he was also consistent in the way that he corrected us, in the way that he disciplined. There were parameters and there were rules and there were guidelines set for our home. And when we walked outside of those, well, these were back in the days that spanking and corporal punishment was okay. And so we knew that Dad was coming. We knew that we would be corrected when we stepped outside of the line. He was consistent in his correction. He was consistent in his love, and he was consistent in his correction. It caused us to fear him because we knew it would hurt. We knew it wouldn't be pleasant. But in that, we respected him. Because as we grew up to adults, we could look back and see that he had helped shape us into full people, whole balanced people who knew how to respect the law, who knew how to love, because there was a fear in it. And this is an excellent example of how God asks us to view him, to fear him, to love him, to respect him. And David models this really well for us. We can see that though David loved God, he feared him. Psalms chapter 50, verse 15 says, And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. David, in all of his trouble, called upon God. He called upon God to deliver him through his battles. And when he was delivered through that battle, when he was brought through that battle, David praised God. He took a step back, and he would praise God. And in chapter 22, we see that he shares his testimony through this song of praise. He praised and shared what God has done. I want to share quickly a piece of my testimony. I won't share all of my testimony. Testimonies can be big and huge and long. The more battles we go through, the bigger our testimonies can become. God likes to bring me through battle. I guess I learn by experience. It's not a great way to learn, but one piece of my testimony that I think is important for you to know today is this. I stand before you this morning as a very confident person. I'm confident in the way that God has created me and called me to ministry. I am who I am because God made me this way, and I'm good with that. I am also the type of person who lives, I don't live life, I experience life vividly, full of expression and emotion and color, and that's how God has created me. I love life. I stand before you today also as a person who believes so deeply to my core that there is not a thing that my God cannot do. But I was not always this person. There was a time in my teenage years, and they were an interesting time. Well, they're an interesting time for most people, but they were an interesting time for me, and I didn't live life vividly. I actually lived life as a very timid and meek and afraid individual. And I was deeply depressed, deeply, deeply depressed. I allowed a few changes to come into my life. I changed from living a life that praised God and kept him at my center, right in front of my face. And I allowed a couple little things to come in, and they're tiny things. I changed the music I was listening to. So instead of listening to the Christian station or worship music or anything that glorified God, I was listening to some really deep, dark, ungodly stuff. And I allowed it to come into my life, and slowly it changed my world from vivid color to utter darkness. You see, when we're not aware of what we're letting in, it can take hold of us. And we have to be aware of what we let into our lives. My mom at the time recognized that there was something going on, and she didn't feel equipped to help me. Back 20 some odd years ago, mental wellness or mental health was not really a word. And so there was not an avenue for her to help me. She didn't know what to do. And so the only thing she could think to do was to put me on the wait list to get into the local mental hospital. There was a wait list because it was the only avenue to help people who were deeply depressed, who had any type of mental illness whatsoever, big or small. They all went to the same place because it was the one and only resource in our town. So she put me on the wait list. And then she also knew in that time frame of waiting that she had to do something. It wasn't enough just to put me on a wait list and hope that things will turn out okay. And so she got on her knees, friends, and she began to call out to God. And she said, "Save my child and show me how to help her." You know what he told her to do? He said, "Speak life." See, I had all of these words coming in from this music that was impacting me and changing me and digging deep into me. And God said, "Speak life." And she began to take the word of God. And every morning when I would wake up, she would wake me by declaring God's word over me. And she would write in lipstick on my mirror a scripture or a piece of encouragement for that day. And she would put notes in my lunchbox, and she'd tuck notes in between the pages of my textbooks that all declared God's word, his truth, because she knew that the darkness could not overtake the light, that it did not have the place in my life that God did. And so even in my darkness and in this deep, overwhelming depression, she said, "My God is bigger, and it will take as long as it takes, but I will speak the word of God." And friends, let me tell you that slowly, light re-entered my life. And piece by piece and moment by moment, as I'd flip through my textbook, I would read something, and it was, the best way I can describe it is feeling like the Grinch. My cold, dark heart would regain hope and warmth, and I could feel again. This wasn't a time in my life that I cried all the time. There wasn't an emotion to cry. I was just emotionless. But I began to feel, and I began to hope. After I was removed from that, I never had a way to articulate how I felt in this time. But a number of years later, I was reading through this chapter, 2 Samuel 22. And we read in verses 5, 6, and 7. This is how I felt in my battle, in this one particular battle. And it says, "The waves of death overwhelmed me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me, and death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I cried out to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary, and my cry reached his ears." Isn't that incredible, church? My little tiny cry reached his ears. My mom's cry reached his ears. He delivered me from death. The incredible thing that, my favorite thing about this chapter is what we're going to read next. God's response to our battle. The thing is, we are his children, and he doesn't want to see us hurting and alone and struggling in these battles. He loves us. He created us. In verses 8 through 16, which I'm going to read, we get to see a glimpse, a very vivid picture of God's anger. And it's not towards us, it's for us. It's on our behalf. We see this is how our Father feels when we're going through a battle. And I'm going to get excited. You just got to go with me. This is too good to not get excited. Verse 8 through 16 says, "Then the earth quaked and trembled. The foundations of heaven shook. They quaked because of his anger. Smoke poured from his nostrils and fierce flames leapt from his mouth. Glowing coals blazed forth from him. He opened the heavens and came down. And dark storm clouds were beneath his feet, and mounted on a mighty angelic being he flew, soaring on the wings of the wind. He shrouded himself in darkness, veiling his approach with dense rain clouds, and a great brightness shone around him. The burning coals and lightning blazed forth, and the Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded, and he shot arrows and scattered his enemies." Your enemies are God's enemies. He takes them on for you. "He shot arrows and scattered his enemies. His lightning flashed and they were confused. And then, at the command of the Lord, at the blast of his breath, the bottom of the sea could be seen, and the foundations of the earth were laid bare." Isn't that incredible? Right? Come on, someone get excited. God, like a father, is angry on your behalf. I will tell you, my 4-year-old came home with bruises two weeks ago from school, and Mama Bear came out. And Dan, thankfully for my wonderful husband Dan, he reminded me that everyone at the school knows I'm a pastor, so I toned it back. And I went in with love. And we resolved the issue. But our Father in heaven, he is angry on our behalf. He has created you. Man, I didn't create my children. I mean, I carried them, but I didn't create them. I can't imagine the intense love that God has for us as he created us. Each and every one of us with specific pieces in mind, those of you who went through the shape study this year through your small group, he created you so individually and unique to anyone else. Can't imagine how angry he would be when he sees you coming up against a battle. Verse 17 through 20 says, he reached down from heaven and he rescued me. And church, I need you to, when you get home, write this on your mirror. Put this in between your textbook pages. File this in your heart and your mind, verse 17 through 20. He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies and from those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety, and he rescued me because he delights in me. Friends, he delights in you. Your decisions have never pulled you too far from the grace, forgiveness, and the love of God. No matter what your life has looked like, God is faithful to you when you are faithful to him. Verses 21 and 22 say, the Lord rewarded me for doing right. He restored me because of my innocence. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not turned from my God to follow evil. Now, we have to remember that David wrote this. And David messed up. David sinned. He wasn't perfect. So when he boldly says, the Lord rewarded me for doing right, it's a picture we have here of forgiveness. That once we come to God with our sins, with our failures, with our mess ups, he says, it is forgotten. It is forgiven. The slate is wiped clean and I'm not going to look at it again. You see, in my self-reliance, I walked away from God. I thought I was strong enough to take the world on. But I wasn't. I asked God to restore me, and he restored the hope and the light in my life. In verse 26, we read that God is faithful to those who are faithful. That when you return to God, he is there waiting to return. When our heart is for God, we will always be delivered to a place of safety. We are his children. He desires to see us in a place of safety. That being said, David spent many years in dark caves, dark nights, waiting for God to take him through his battle. God's timing is not always our timing, and the length of our battle is not always the length that we would like it to be. There must be dark places and difficult battles to bring you through in order for the world to know God's love and his grace. Our battles are not always for us. Sometimes we need to battle through something so God can take us through it, so we can declare it to the world, so the world can see God's grace. Our testimony is a story of God's grace, of how he delivered us through our battle. So how do we fight our battle? Friends, this is how we fight our battle. I am not naive enough to believe that I have found a secret recipe to get through your depression or your decade-long anxiety. I'm not that naive. But what I do know is that God has equipped us to make it through the battle. And so though it might be long and tough and tedious, and you may feel exhausted, God desires to bring you through. I've used the examples of David and of myself to inspire hope. My desire is to inspire hope and to let you know that you are no different than me, and you're no different than David. So if God will bring us through that battle, he will bring you through your battle. And three things to help you with that. Three, because pastors like threes. I have no idea. It's just what we do. I don't even think they taught us that. Number one, you need to know, meditate on, and declare God's word in your life. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. When we know the heart and the character of God, we can trust it. When we have seen that he is faithful, we can be faithful. Church, it's why we spend time engaging with our Bible, because we need to know God's word and keep it before us. So when the darkness comes in whatever form that looks like in your life, you are equipped with the light to battle it. That you don't have to rely on your own strength, because your own strength is not good enough. But God is strong. In our weakness, he is strong because we allow him to be. Number two, we have to remember. Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us that we have to remember what God has done for us. Do not forget what the Lord has done, is what that chapter says. It reminds us of his goodness and his faithfulness to us. In history, we always say you have to remember history so we don't repeat the past. We have to remember the history of what God has done so we don't repeat our spiritual past. So you don't have to continue to fight the same battles, but you can stand confidently knowing God has brought me through this. I don't need to return to it because it is behind me. And my God and his truth is stronger than that battle that's behind me. The third thing is this, praises and singing. Psalms 34 says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and grace, and I will boast of all of his kindness to me. Let all who are discouraged take heart, and let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. For I cried to him and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. We must replace our doubt and our discouragement and our worry with praise to our God. There was a time that I wasn't strong enough to do it for myself, so my mom did it for me. Verses 1 through 3, where we started today, David calls God his rock, his fortress, his shield, his protection and the power that saves us, his refuge and a place of safety. Well, we call upon our God, the mighty name of our God. He is mighty to save us. When I wasn't strong enough, God held on to me. When I wasn't strong enough to call on God, he brought people around me. When we feel surrounded, like the walls are caving in and the enemy is all around us, or we feel secluded and all alone by our situation, we have to position our mindset to praise. And we have to remind ourselves that we are not fighting alone. We are surrounded and supported by God. One last piece of my testimony. A number of years ago, well, it was 5 years ago, anyone who was in this church at that time would likely remember that Dan and I were struggling through a battle of infertility. The battle was not getting pregnant. The battle was staying pregnant. And we didn't know if we would ever have a family. And we didn't know if we would ever see a pregnancy come to full term. But in that season, it felt longer than I ever wanted it to be. But it was the battle that God had us in. And I'll tell you, friends, that God has used that battle in my life in incredible ways. That I've been able to stand with other couples and other women in that similar situation. And I can say, you've got this because your God is bigger than this. And in that season, God asked me to do two things through that battle. Number one, he said, Kim, I need you to be vulnerable to your small group. And let me pause and just say, small groups. If there was ever a place to take your battle and to feel surrounded by a community of people who want to see you succeed in your life and see you succeed in your faith, it's in a small group. And I believe in this culture and in this society today, we are so busy and so surrounded by people, but we are so lonely and so alone. And so friends, join a small group. I don't say that just because I'm the group's pastor. I love small groups. To my bitter core, I believe in small groups. And this right here, this is an email that I pulled out from 5 years ago. And I stumbled upon it this week. And I'll tell you, God's been preparing this sermon for 2 weeks. And this week, the final piece came in. It was an email that I had completely forgotten about. And it was when God asked me to be vulnerable before my small group and to share our story of infertility. We hadn't told anyone about it. Because sometimes when you're going through a battle, it feels embarrassing or it feels shameful. You don't want to share your junk because you don't want to take people down with you. But let me read this. To give a little context, at the time I was the young adults pastor, and we ran a bunch of small groups, but for the summer we brought them all together and we had big small group. And then in that we would divide into small groups. You need to know the term small groups for the email. Hey Kim, it was a pretty great end to Circle Maker. I think this study helped us as a group, as individuals in many ways. Having small groups gave us an opportunity to go deeper with one another with a purpose. Initially, I thought this was just because we went into our smaller groups with people that we liked. Ergo, had a degree of trust with. But even as our group ebbed and flowed, it definitely held a strong God purpose. It was meaningful because we were thinking and praying for one another every single day, even when we weren't together. On that note, I feel I should tell you that we have all been circling your Jericho every day. Circling your Jericho is relevant to that study. It just means we've been praying over your battle for you. I had sent a note out following our first meeting to everyone because as a small group, the few of us there felt compelled to pray for you and Dan every day. And so we wanted to share that with the rest of the group. And I certainly can't speak for everyone, but I did get back a lot of messages and commitment to do the same. I just want you to know that one day when a baby arrives, we get to be part of knowing that our prayers were heard. Thanks for being vulnerable. When we're vulnerable and we allow people to have a piece in that and support us through that, God not only carries us and blesses us through it, he blesses others. And the second piece was, I said there was two things I had to do that battle. The second one is, those of you who would remember, I came up here and I gave my testimony. And I held the mic, and it was the time that we had two services, and I had to share it twice in front of everybody. I only cried one time. But through that, those next number of months, people in this church repeatedly, week after week after week, would send me a text or an email. Hey, Pastor Kim, I just wanted you to know that I am declaring this truth over your life, and I believe that God has a family for you. And people would even bring in baby gifts. Like people actually, some of you are still here, bought me baby gifts and said, I am believing that you will have a child who can use this one day. This church got to see their prayers answered because God asked me to be vulnerable and to share my testimony. If you don't know, I have two awesome kids. We have two awesome kids. One is sitting on the front pew. She's being really good today. It's not always the case. Friends, when we are vulnerable and we say, you know what, I'm not making it. I feel surrounded by my circumstance. Church, I need you to know that you, yeah, maybe you are surrounded by your circumstance, but you're also surrounded by God, and you're surrounded by this community. This is a group of people who we are to support each other because we are like-minded in the faith. We are brothers and sisters in the faith. And so when you give each other the opportunity to support one another, you give each other the opportunity to be blessed by God and to see God move.